and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about a category that would include a certain former occupant of the White House, but will not directly include that awful person. We're talking about famous babies. And joining me are two fantastic, trivia-minded, trivia-centric folks who have been on this show several times. They're dear friends, lovely human beings, both with roughly the same hairstyle at this point in the quarantine situation. Our first guest returning is Kate Benversi. Kate, welcome back to the show.
Hello, I'm so glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. And your chair looks very comfortable. I like that. Ooh, you've got like a high back chair situation. It's very, this is like professional. This is the sort, this is the chair where if I walked into your office or just zoomed into your office, depending on how you handle matters at this point, I would feel immediately intimidated.
Ooh,
I would
perfect.
Say, this person's station is well above mine because my chair either has no back at all. Right now it does not. I'm sitting on a bench. Or the back is not sufficiently high to protect the neck, as well, as one might say.
I got it from a little old lady down south, and I'll be honest, the place was kind of creepy, but I really like the chair she gave me, so I'm still happy with my purchase.
I feel like I should go deeper into the story about this weird old lady
like
that's selling haunted chairs, possibly.
Her house looked abandoned, and I had to knock like three times, and then all of a sudden she like came out of the garage, and I was like, do you live here?
Wow.
I didn't ask that. I just took the chair.
Where in the south?
Yeah.
It was like University Hills.
Oh, like Denver. Okay. I thought you meant like
not the actual.
Oh, like the deep south? No, I didn't go to Georgia for an office chair.
Just among the swamp and
yeah, the swamp.
There's
people.
Just this old plantation house that Kate has to like cut through with a machete.
No.
I hear there's a chair here.
Not that south. Although if I was driving through, I wouldn't limit my purchases. So it's possible.
Yeah. Did this woman have a candy dish? Did you see if she had a candy dish?
No, it was just weird. Like you looked into her house and everything was dark. Then she had like this massive foyer area that I could see through the front door area. And there was like flowers and stuff, but it honestly kind of looked like if you were about to walk into a funeral home, you know, because they've got like that big entryway and a big thing of fresh flowers, but
and
then
yeah,
like
flowers.
Nothing else. And that was kind of like all I could see. And then, yeah, she popped out of the garage and the garage was like immaculate and like brand new. Everything looked like it had freshly been, I don't know, is that considered paint when you redo flooring in a garage? I don't know. I did comment on that though. I was like, I've never seen a garage like this. This is kind of impressive. And she just kind of goes, and I was like, I don't know what that means. So
I am excited for this Stephen King novel.
Yeah. I don't know. God, they probably murder people in there, so they have to keep it tidy.
Well, that is something that one
just
would think,
backs.
Right? If the garage has been newly redone, but the house looks like a funeral home.
Yeah,
I'm putting a few things together.
Someone was absolutely hacked up in there.
Yeah. Have you checked? Have you luminoled the chair that you got?
No, I don't want to ruin it. I like it right now.
That's probably for the best. I mean, hey, we all live in America, so we haven't probably luminoled our entire lives, and we should. Because we'd probably be sad.
At least one of those people probably had it coming, so...
Yeah.
Also, exactly. A little icing. So Kate, welcome back. Our second guest is Dave DeNovelis. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Nate. Hey, Kate. Happy to be here. Very excited.
So are the two of you doing any sort of Geeks Who Drink thing now? Are you doing any of the Twitch whatevers? Because I know Mike is doing the Twitch thing. Or anyway.
No, I played a couple of the Twitches. Yeah. And then I haven't since, but I would be open to, I hope that the snug comes back because that's our little home away from home.
Yeah.
But only
no,
if the cave comes with.
I can't imagine that the cave is going to be the first place in that opens up after COVID, but it would be fun. I've played online too. It was surprisingly entertaining.
Right on. Yeah. Cause I greatly miss seeing you both in person and,
and getting to do the kind of weekly check-ins we would always do. It's just wonderful to see you both. And I hope that we can all get together and do trivia again, and also to do this show again in human form.
Oh yes.
Rather than all having to be two-dimensional constructs.
That's true.
I mean, I'm pretty two-dimensional as it is, but in person would be nice.
Your two dimensions are extreme handsomeness and extreme sexual voicedness.
From your mouth to God's ears, Nate.
He listens to me.
He does have to leave the house sometimes.
So let's talk about famous babies. This is gonna be wild because I just don't know what to expect. Just a free word association nonsense choice for me, and you were both lovely enough to say, why not?
That's fine.
So here's my opening question for you: how does it feel knowing that there are babies who are already more famous than any of us will ever be? And does that make you resent those babies or babies in general?
Babies kind of. They're not my favorite thing in the world if I don't know them.
Sure.
I don't know if I resent them. That would be weird. But it is weird watching them carry around like expensive handbags and glasses and stuff. Like, what you got in that purse? Open up.
Does your juice box need a gold-plated straw? Or is that just kind of a, you got to flex on me? You don't even have muscles yet.
I agree with Kate there. It's like I generally distrust babies.
I like that it's a trust issue for Dave.
My Google Nest, when I said I don't trust babies, just said, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I'm feeling weird. But I think I do resent famous babies just a little bit. Mainly because, you know, I would like to have some moderately nice things. And like you said, you have the diamond encrusted juice box. In a Chanel handbag.
Can you imagine like having so many juice boxes that you got like a little holder for it, like we do beer bottles, you know? and then not only that, but it's got diamonds on it.
Oh, the baby koozie.
Fucking weirdo.
Well, it's like those cell phone cases that'll be bejeweled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a weird baby, though. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's seriously. I mean, we're talking like a DuckTales level kind of baby where it's, you know, Scrooge McBaby.
Scrooge McBaby.
You know, just a bin full of pacifiers that he's swimming around in, just keeping them away from everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, look at you, your little gold mittens, baby. Go to hell.
I just think it's funny that especially when it comes to celebrity births, like those babies are immediately famous. Ooh. And then there's a market, like capitalism creates a market whereby someone wants to pay for photos of a baby that has come out of a famous person and thereby is also famous. And that's absurd, right? Because the baby hasn't done anything. And one stacks the deck against the baby for their whole life. I mean, we got to put that out there. That is miserable. If you're like, oh, cool, I'm Northwest, and boy, howdy, is my life going to be a dream because I'm sure no one's going to expect anything out of me and just let me do my own shit. No, you're going to be like immediately assumed you're going to be thrust into some sort of life path no matter what, given the family tree, I'm sure. No hate,
I think it's
just
safe
saying.
To. Yeah, I mean, it's safe to assume that most celebrity babies are just going to become piles of trash one day. So there's like probably a few that come out and turn out pretty cool, but they got to work hard to earn that.
Yeah.
Uphill battle, really. Maybe they're the ones that are the victims here.
Yeah.
They might be.
Maybe this entire episode is just an insensitive exercise that we shouldn't do at all because these poor babies.
Nah, yeah, well, I think it might be incumbent upon us just to like help these babies. This is like any baby, but especially celebrity babies, is when everybody's going crazy over them, paparazzo, etc., just remember to just lean in close every now and then and say, you ain't shit, baby.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, you gotta
I hope
keep
I
them
get
down.
The opportunity one day
every now and then. A lot of babies can deal with it. I mean, once they get into toddler age, you know, they're starting, you know, give them a little bit of space. But babies, they get away with a lot of shit that I think is undeserved.
Yeah, and you, and it's real easy because you can just point out actual factual things about them and say like, hey, look, you shit in your pants every day multiple times. You don't even think about it. You don't even try to avoid it. You just shit your pants.
Yeah.
Keep them on their toes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Figuratively speaking, because they can't stand.
Another thing to remind them, you ain't shit, baby.
Yeah. You ain't shit.
Which I think is what the Little Piggy's nursery rhyme was actually about, because Kate said toes. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because it pretty much does say, like, yeah, we could butcher you if we want to. But the moral of the story is you could be sold for meat. And that's just something to think about, baby.
On any given day, just remember, you could be a meat baby. A meat dog. Baby dog. I don't know. We'll brainstorm the branding on that one.
Hey, baby dog sounds great because it's like, you know, it's the lips, it's the heels, it's the, you know, all the parts of the baby that you can't process normally. All the parts of the baby that you're not going to use to cure people who think that abortion is wrong of disease, but you'll use those for that.
I think there's a product like head cheese. It's normally like the off pieces of pig, but we could make it baby bits.
I see. There's.
I mean, it's an option.
Baby bits is like a shakeable thing, like Parmesan or bacon bits. You just
more shake choices. It out.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just enjoy that in the kitty.
Ugh, gross. Not in the pool, beside the pool.
Oh, okay.
Don't make it weird. Little table. You know, eat your baby on the side of the pool like a normal human being.
That's fair, Kate.
I love it. Great job on the opening question. 2 points each.
I love that. That was points. Yeah. I might actually do okay tonight.
Oh, there's a good chance. There's a good chance everybody's just fine. So we're going to go into round number one. Kate, we're going to start with you. Do you have a vague idea about Baby Doe Tabor?
No. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Talk about her.
Oh, God. That's right. Baby Doe Tabor was the offspring of the Tabor guy who did the Colorado tax stuff. And what a bitch she was. She was like, taxes, and she knew about taxes as like a toddler, and it was like really elitist in kindergarten because none of the other kids knew, and she just like kept rubbing it in their face, and it was just like uncomfortable, you know. So eventually one day she got kicked out. I think it was about the third grade, and then she started an accounting firm.
I love it. Yeah,
and then no one heard from her again.
She was known for spelling the word evasion with her letter blocks as a child.
Fraud.
I love it. That's great. Dave.
She was.
I really enjoyed Kate's description of Baby Doe Tabor. I'm also reminded of being in middle school, and one of the big things is that we would go see one of the Christmas plays at the Denver Performing Arts Center. But first, we just like go hang out at the Tabor Center, which was, I think it's still around, but it was more of a mall than whatever the hell it is now. But
I think it's the student union for the Orrery campus now.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. How about that?
Or no. Well, what is it? Oh, yeah.
Oh, so that means that the workers took over, overthrew Baby Doe Tabor and her center.
Yeah,
and now it's like it's a place of a place of congregation for future leaders.
Yeah, that which is very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Did I cut you off, Dave? Did you have
no? That's about all I know about the Tabor Center, and even less about Baby Doe Tabor, our tax evading little baby.
Do either of you remember there was a restaurant in Denver called Baby Doe's?
Yeah,
it was on. It was right next to, kind of between Mile High Stadium and the Omni Hotel that is now that is now dorms for CU Denver. And it was like a mining. It was like a mine shaft themed restaurant. So it was just this weird thing. But that was named after Baby Doe Tabor, who was the second wife of Colorado businessman Horace Tabor,
Strong
and,
name.
She's known for her rags to riches and back to rags again story. It inspired an opera and a Hollywood movie based on her life.
The lady that the pizza place was named after?
Yeah.
Wow. What? Baby yeah. dough.
So
Baby
she
dough.
What yeah, movie? So she was born in Wisconsin and and then she like lady. Got married and whatever, and then her story inspired the opera The Ballad of Baby Dough.
Is her name Baby Dash Doe, or is it like a nick? What the fuck is her name?
Her real that? Name is Elizabeth McCourt Tabor.
And she went by Baby Doe by choice.
Yeah, she went by Baby Doe. Because of course she was like, you know how I identify? I identify as the corpse of a baby that the police cannot identify.
Okay. Yeah.
Classic.
What's the movie?
Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. I'm assuming the movie is The Ballad of Baby Doe also.
I'm writing that song tonight.
I was going to say, maybe we can get it on Netflix, a book report or something about her.
We're heading to Clubhouse. We're going to do a watch party.
She's portrayed in a film called Silver Dollar that came out in 1932.
My goodness.
I don't know. I think it's the Baby Doe, the Ballad of Baby Doe.
I'm in.
Look, the movie thing is not being substantiated by Wikipedia, so I can't say anything else.
But the ballad is. I'll watch it, listen to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It can't be that
next,
bad.
That next Taylor Swift album just needs to have the Ballad of Baby Doe on it.
I do. I want to hear the third act where everything goes to shit.
Right?
Yeah, what happened? Drugs.
Yeah, it was just cocaine.
Cocaine and music.
Yeah. She was hanging out with Eric Clapton. The baby fell out the window. Everybody was miserable.
No, baby doe. No.
Come
baby
back.
Nut.
Land on your feet.
Luckily, it was a cat baby, so it
did. Yeah. She did just fine.
If I saw your name, what I call you in heaven.
Got to slow hand it. So great job.
Sorry, baby doe fell out the window.
2 points each for Baby Doe Tabor. Dave, it's round number two time. Do you have a vague idea about Rosemary's Baby?
I have a vague idea about Rosemary's Baby.
All right. Let us know what you know.
Oh, I do know. So that was a movie, late 60s, early 70s there with Mia Farrow. She was impregnated by the devil, and she was carrying the devil's spawn. And so it's kind of like Bizarro Bible.
Yeah. that was the alternate title. They
right.
were thinking about it. They were like, we call this movie Bizarro Bible or Rosemary's Baby.
Right. And you know, it was funny. I don't know why, but you know, like Mary in the Bible had some clout. So they're like, oh yeah, of course it's Immaculate Conception, but you know, Rosemary's Baby, like, no, you don't have the devil's baby, whatever.
Cause you put that rose on the front of your name, pretentiously.
Yeah. So anywho, devil spawn, Rosemary's Baby.
Very good. Okay. Kate, what can you add about Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah. Devil baby. We often use it to describe babies we hate. So maybe, just maybe we can throw that in there when we talk to celebrity babies.
There you go. So when we're chastising, we'll be like, you're a real Rosemary's baby. Yeah. You shit your pants all the time. Get out of here.
Rose baby. Ugh. It's just an idea. But
you're
that's
out, devil spawn.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Rosemary's Baby is a 1968 American horror film written and directed by Roman Polanski.
Oh.
Class act.
He was a big fan of babies.
Yeah, he was.
What did he do to babies?
Having relationships with.
Oh, yeah. He did do it.
It starred Mia Farrow, John Cassavetes, Ruth Gordon, Sidney Blackmore, Maurice Evans, Ralph Bellamy, Adrian, Angela Dorian, Clay Tanner, and in his first ever film, Charles Grodin.
Get out.
That's
I love
exciting,
Charles
right?
Grodin. He's
Getting
a good
Grodin.
Cassavetes also very good.
So, so 2 points each for Rosemary's Baby.
2 points.
Great job. Great job, Satan. A lot of fun.
Baby.
Me
We're
a fair
play
Woody Allen.
First game. It is time for the Thunderdome.
Ooh.
And this week in the Thunderdome, you'll both be presiding over a battle to the death between two very, very famous babies. So I want you to really think about the immense weight that you bear on your shoulders to make the decision between these two. The babies in question are, in this corner, Baby Yoda, also known as Grogu, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the name
yeah.
Of the, is the name of the baby.
The shit name.
So you got Baby Yoda. And in this corner, fresh from the well she fell into, Baby Jessica.
Oh!
Who wins in a
Who's
battle
Baby
to the death?
Baby Jessica?
Oh, Kate.
I don't think I know. Maybe I do.
Yeah, in the 80s, Baby Jessica fell into a well in her backyard and
like
was in there for like... 3 days, the like 4 or 5 days,
like 13 days.
13
I
days,
thought.
It was a long time.
This was a real human baby that survived.
Yeah, it was everywhere. It was on all the daytime shows and People magazine and the world news.
I don't mean to digress, but like, what's she doing today? What's her life about?
I'm pretty sure she's like living a regular life. Give me 1 second here. Look at that. Baby
celebrity
Jessica.
Baby, and nothing some, like, came of it.
Some random soreness when the weather changes from the fall.
That's funny. So wait, so is this like celebrity death match where we just commentate on their beating each other up, or we take wagers on like who survives or
well,
like,
who do you think's going to win in this battle? I mean, you have to consider all the factors. I mean, obviously Baby Jessica has a lot of media clout and she did
and
survive
endurance.
Being in a well
endurance
for several
for
days.
Sure.
She was in that well for 58 hours, apparently.
Oh, yeah, wow. I mean, with 13 out there. Yeah.
Well, you know.
That's so long.
Babies probably can't last 13 days alone in a lot of situations, so that was my fault.
But no food.
So she was born in 1987. She's apparently like a person who's alive and doing stuff now, so that's great.
87, currently the same age.
Good year.
Gosh.
Good year.
Kate, did you ever change your name from Jessica to Kate? Do you remember?
Oh, that's funny stuff. I don't think so, though. But maybe my parents changed it because too much media coverage and they were trying to protect me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Endurance for Baby Jessica. But, I mean, Baby Yoda has the Force.
Well, he also has teeth, like the cutest little teeth.
Yeah, those are
but they get me every time.
He's been eating little frogs and everything, and that lady's eggs.
Oh, the genocide!
What a goofball! Yeah,
adorable.
Baby Yoda genocide.
I mean, he also, if you're thinking about celebrity status, he's kind of hit. Like you can remake all of his memes into anything that you need. He's pretty versatile.
It's true.
Like the Swiss Army knife of memes.
Yeah. Wow. I'll tell you what, though, in 1987, though. Baby Jessica had clout.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda wasn't shit.
Literally wasn't. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't even like the foam that they made the puppet out of.
Yeah. I mean, even George Lucas had no idea. Like, oh, Baby Yoda. No, he didn't even know yet.
George Lucas is like, I don't understand why nobody liked Howard the Duck. That was a good movie that I made.
Great movie. Great movie. Howard the Duck.
Does Yoda ever die? Like Yoda can't die. He's like hundreds of years old, right?
Well, he does die in Return of the Jedi.
Oh shit.
But he dies of old age and he sort of seems to like choose death. He's kind of like, "Hey, come back and finish your training, but also I'm tired, so I'm just going to die now."
I'm bored of you.
Which is a form of training, I guess, so.
Right. Which is pretty much he taught Luke that.
Yeah. You're just going to want to go ahead and give up. That's how you do it right.
That's how you go out. Go for the long sleep. So there we go. So I'll add there then that Baby Jessica, not dead.
It's a good
Some
point.
Of the Yoda's dead.
Well, if you think about the timeline, technically Baby Yoda is like rebirthed. He's like reborn. What's the word I'm looking for?
Reincarnated?
Thank you.
We're gonna get dragged to hell on the Star Wars forums right now.
Oh man. Yeah.
Oh my god. There's no way I could survive. I didn't even remember that he died. Fuck's sake.
That's all right. We'll call Ryan Johnson. He'll have our back.
There you go.
Gotta help me.
So Kate, who's winning? What do you think?
I'm going for Yoda. His tiny teeth like kill me. And honestly, I feel like he'd be a weird biter and just like chew a face off or something like a rat.
I mean, it's true. There's the possibility he could just like, he could lift baby Jessica out of the well and then be like, you look tasty. And just
with his
eat
mind.
Her. And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he'll take a cute little nap.
Yeah. So funny.
I agree. I'm conceding this to Kate. You're right. Baby Yoda, baby Jessica, impressive, but stands no chance. No chance against somebody with the force and an insatiable appetite.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, if baby Yoda was at the bottom of that well the whole time, there's no news story. They're just like, our baby disappeared, and we can't hear her crying, and there's nothing. There's nothing to it. Yeah, yeah.
He'd have just crawled out. He wouldn't even use the force.
Yeah, like,
fuck out of here, baby Jessica. I hope everything's going well for you, but Jesus.
Very good. You're both absolutely correct, so I'm going to give you each 2 points.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah. Yeah,
I wonder if she's on LinkedIn, though.
Be divisible by two.
So far, they are. We'll see if I decide to switch it up. I'll feel kooky eventually. So now, it's time for round number 3. And Kate, do you have a vague idea about Babyface Nelson?
Oh my God, baby, this rings a bell. Yeah, I do, but I don't. Oh wait, was he the gangster that hung out with the other guy? Yeah. That's the only thing that I can think of. So if I'm wrong, fuck it.
Do you have any guesses about who the other guy is?
Yeah, wasn't it Capone or was it the other one?
It was definitely the other one.
Babyface hung out with the Johnny Depp one.
Oh, was that Dillinger?
Yeah, Dillinger.
Yeah.
Right?
That very was good. Very
one
good.
Of his henchmen.
That's right.
That's as far as I got.
Okay.
Maybe he hooked up with some ladies. Too. He seemed like, you know, baby face. Maybe
with that baby face, you got to imagine somebody's like, give me some of that baby.
Yeah, maybe it was like a less pervy thing to say back in, what was that, the 20s, 30s?
Oh, yeah, because baby just referred to any number of things that had nothing to do with being an infant.
Yeah, yeah.
Children were called cheap workers back then. So
classic 20.
Oh, you had a new employee, did you? That's great. Look at him. He's about to grow.
Congrats.
Put him inside the machine.
Was he one that actually was in prison with Dillinger? Because maybe like that gives new meaning to Babyface too.
He was. He was friends with him
so
in prison.
Maybe he got raped in there for sure.
Oh no. Wow. Yeah. Wow, that was a dark turn.
Well, they named him Babyface, not me. I didn't do it. But I'm glad he helped get Dillinger out. If Dillinger looked half as good as the pictures indicate, he's a gangster worth knowing.
These are good standards by which to measure history, for sure.
Yeah.
Great job, Kate. Dave, anything to add about Babyface Nelson?
No, honestly, every time I've ever heard in my life Babyface Nelson, I automatically think of Looney Tunes and Babyface Finster, the gangster thug that was like trying to get something pulled over on Bugs Bunny and it never worked.
Oh my God, maybe it's inspired by.
It might be inspired by it because it was a little guy.
Yeah, it was a little guy.
Shaving. He was shaving with the cigar, and then Bugs Bunny would be like, hey, what's going on? And then he put on his bonnet and his pacifier. And
his bonnet.
Yeah. So that's what I think about when you say Babyface Nelson.
That's funny.
I love it. I love it. Okay. Yeah. Babyface Nelson, known as Lester Joseph Gillis, lived from 1908 until 1934.
Not a long time.
Not a long time. He became partners with John Dillinger, helping him escape from the prison in Crown Point, Indiana. And Nelson and the remaining gang members were labeled as public enemy number one.
Multiple number ones.
Multiple with a bullet. Multiple numbers one with a bullet. managed to have 2 kids in his short little life, too. That's pretty wild. So great job, Kate. 3 points. And Dave, 2 points.
You let her speak. Dave is hushing Helton. How inappropriate. Poor girl.
She's just got to do her thing, you know?
She just wants to be heard.
Helton's got opinions.
Second opinions?
No. Seconds, thirds. Terrible opinions, if you ask me. But
so Kate, you're in the lead now. It's pretty exciting. Gosh,
I don't know.
And it's time for round number four.
Yes.
Dave, dost thou have a vague idea? See, look, I'm switching it up a little bit.
Yeah,
nice. I like it. Interesting. About the Lindbergh baby.
Oh, a little bit. I got a little bit of an idea. Vaguely.
Talk about that baby.
Oh, the Lindbergh baby. I'm just going to go out on a limb here, is that as tragic as the Lindbergh story was, might have saved us from a bit of fascism and authoritarianism, Nazism. Anyway, Lindbergh baby, Charles Lindbergh, famous for all kinds of stuff, inventor and entrepreneur, and flew shit around. Had a plane. But through all that, he became quite rich. And then when he, and very famous through his exploits, escapades. But then his baby got kidnapped. The Lindbergh baby got kidnapped. And it was very, it was gripping the nation, much like baby Jessica. News traveled much slower because without technology, like TVs. But I believe baby Lindbergh.
Did you hear? The Lindbergh baby's been kidnapped.
When was that? 6 months ago.
I just got the wire.
Exactly. But, you know, there was like a ransom and it was a big news thing. But unfortunately, the Lindbergh baby died. Murdered, I guess I should say. Not just like, oh, what a tragic. Yeah.
Tragically died while being kidnapped.
It was a fucking crime. They killed the baby, and then I believe it sent Mr. Lindbergh into kind of a spiral of darkness and depression, and kind of faded a bit out of public life after the fact, but turns out he was a bit of a Nazi, very popular too, so you know, this might have had one of those you know, sliding doors kind of effects on the country.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I was going to say sliding doors. Yeah, very good, Dave. Very good. Kate, anything to add about the Lindbergh baby?
That's a lot of detail. I thought there was a movie that I saw not that long ago that either referenced the baby, maybe referenced the dad. Honestly, I can't remember, but that's as far as I got. And I had all that time to think about it and nothing else came to mind. So I feel confident in what Dave shared.
All right. Yeah. I mean, this is a huge case. Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr., 20-month-year-old son, was kidnapped in 1932. And then by May of that year, they found the body of the baby.
Was there a movie made about the baby?
So the baby, at least from what Wikipedia says, was alluded to in the film Crime of the Century from 1996.
I did not watch that recently.
It doesn't seem like a recent movie. I think it comes up in like American Horror Story, among other things. Great job. 3 points for Dave, 1 point for Kate.
Thank you.
And now it's time to play our second game. We're going to play Recast.
What?
Yeah.
So with Recast, I'm going to present you with a role, and you each need to give me a new casting for this role as it pertains to famous babies. And the role in question is the hideous digital dancing baby from Ally McBeal. Who should play this horrifying personification of Calista Flockhart's biological clock? Kate,
ooh.
Start with you.
The guy from Times Square who literally dresses like a baby and runs around New York City.
Times Square baby.
Yeah, he's got the part.
I like that a lot, actually. And it lends itself because obviously, you know, you're in Times Square, you're a baby, you're hustling already.
He's a mover and a shaker, and he can commute.
Yeah. So, and if Ally McBeal's whole thing is like, wait, I'm a 30-something-year-old lawyer. Should I have a kid? Should I not have a kid? Whatever. If she sees like a man dressed as a baby who's like, come on.
That'll just make up her mind real quick.
Yeah.
He's just standing there going, tapping his watch. Tick tock. Come on.
Yeah, He doesn't show up in many episodes in my version.
I think to your credit, it's like this doesn't detract from the meme from the memification of the dancing baby, like, because the dancing baby's all over the internet in various hideous forms. But yeah, if it's just the Times Square baby man, like, doing a groove, I still think it makes the boards. Reddit's all over it.
Yeah, sure. I'd dive in to the boards.
Dive into the boards. So Dave, yeah, who's gonna play this dancing baby?
Harrison Ford.
Nice.
A lot of layers on that one.
It's fucked up, man.
Irony.
That's like Inception, but baby form.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's like, Harrison Ford, he's an actor's actor, so he'd really dive into the part. And married to Calista Flockhart, so.
I believe he adopted her adopted son, too.
There you go.
See? So also the father of her child, like as well said, as Kate, her child.
The Ally McBeal Inception.
Okay. If that Call of the Wild movie just featured Harrison Ford with the dancing baby, are you more likely to see it, or would you have not seen it just as much?
100% more likely to see it that way as opposed to now, which I was like, oh, that. Yeah, and I didn't see it. I did very much, I don't know, back to the Star Wars and Harrison Ford, I don't know if anybody saw, somebody asked him about Han Solo. If it was a certain thing in the one movie, and all he said was like, I don't know what the fuck that is, and I don't care. And I appreciate him so much.
I assume it was did Han shoot first thing.
Right? It might have been that.
That's the big nerd question, is like, Han shot first, right? And I could see him being like, I don't fucking care, man. Like, that was a scene I shot when I was 35 years old. What do you want from me? I don't care.
Right. But I do think he would make a great dancing baby.
Yeah. Oh man, with the earring? Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Just like the not give a fuck Harrison Ford dancing at the baby. And not young hot Harrison Ford, Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Current, just everything is just
sort of melting
wrinkles, and but the good kind of wrinkles. He's just like, yeah, he's just weathered.
He's endlessly attractive.
Yeah. He can still get it.
Harrison Ford, if you listen to the show, I'll give you Kate's number. Just tweet at me at Nate Rigoli on Twitter.
Let's talk. You got a plane.
Great job. 3 points each on recast. You were both absolutely correct.
So grateful every time you give me points, and I don't know. It's like a true, like, if you could feel emotions. I feel so grateful every time I get points.
Wait, why did you say if you could feel emotions, Kate? Are you a robot?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Like, sometimes people are like, I don't get what you mean. I was like, no, really feel that in your heart. Like, can't you feel that?
Yeah. Well, hey, this show is all about love. And just, hey, look, I mean, the points are arbitrary. So it's however it goes.
And yet they feel so good.
If that's what I leave on this earth, is a trail of points that made people feel good, I'm all right with it.
You did good.
And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name.
Oui.
So here's the here's the arbitrary thing that I'm posing. We were all babies once, so I ask you both, how would you feel if you suddenly got Benjamin Buttoned? Are you into it? Is dying as an old baby somehow appealing? Dave, we'll start with you.
Absolutely not.
Neither of us can hold that back.
That's creepy. It's creepy. The movie's creepy. The concept's creepy. I don't know. I don't mind going back in time backwards and, you know, give me a chance to do a couple things that maybe fix some stuff. But, you know, I also don't want to go back in time and then turn into an old baby. That's all I got to say about that.
You don't relish the idea of Kate Blanchett changing your diapers when you're like 89?
No, I pay plenty of money to make sure that stays anonymous.
You can find Dave's OnlyFans account at Danav, $1.co.
Right. Ooh, I'm top 3% this month. Sale.
Yeah, okay. Kate, what do you think? Benjamin Button or not? No?
Fuck no. No. I don't know what it is. It's just like, yeah, something super creepy about it. And dying of old age somehow carries a little bit more respect than like dying as an old baby. So, ugh. Yeah, he had already slept with her. So now he's going back to like when he was a kid. So it's like kind of a perverse sort of, I don't know. My head's really in a weird place tonight. Sorry, guys.
No, the concept puts the head in a weird place. I don't remember in the film because I was so bored watching it, honestly. Mm-hmm. But like, is there a point when he's 13 and he's like, hey, I'm excited, right? Because he's like old 13, but he's still 13. So there are too many questions with this whole concept anyway, right? Like if you're coming back down the hill and yeah, you're like 79 or 80 or something, but you're actually biologically looking like you're a early teen.
Yeah.
Are you having the awkward male, sort of auto-erotic responses? Yeah, boners. Right. Yeah. You just having
surprise boners.
You having little boy boners? You having bus boners when you're an old baby?
But like,
I don't want
it. Random surprise teen boner, but old boner.
Mm-hmm. Which one is it?
Yeah.
Make up your mind. Do you need to take Viagra to have that happen, or is it just happen?
Maybe. Yeah.
Did your balls like reverse sag as you Benjamin buttoned?
I feel like maybe that's just reverse polarity. Didn't think through these things well enough. Ooh.
The further we go with this, the more I question why I asked it in the first place.
Yeah. It's on you, Nate. I told you straight off, no. And you kept going.
Yeah, you kept asking.
I think
you
the
said
only...
Benjamin Button, and we were like, no.
Not
no,
into
no,
it.
No,
no, no thanks. No. I guess I think the only thing that's sort of appealing is the idea that at least all three of us experienced normal childhood. And if we were to Benjamin Button starting somewhere around now, it could be kind of fun to go, oh, hey, cool. I don't have to actually get old. I'm just going to get like younger again until I die. And that's going to have its own consequences and complications. There's going to be a point where you're like, I want this bottle of whiskey. And they're going to be like, we can't sell that to you because you're nine. And you're going to be like, I'm 172 years old. What the fuck are you saying? Right. Look at my ID. And they're going to be like, that doesn't look like you at all because we're still using the picture from when you were 40 because that's how we save money.
When you pull out your pacifier and go, babe, help me out here.
What an image.
Yeah. You were both, again, absolutely correct. 2 points each. Well done. Well done. So we got a real close game here. We've got one more topic left. And at this point, Kate, you have 17 points. And Dave, you have 18 points.
What? So how do you get ahead?
Literally all of the marbles hinge on this next and final question. And I have a feeling that both of you are going to know something about the final question. So I just want you to get excited about this. Like, let's get pumped up.
Should we say final and ultimate question of the quiz just for old time's sake?
The final and ultimate question. Boo, 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 boo.
Play some songs.
So as you both know, the winner of a vague idea each week is sent cash on delivery. 1,000 pounds worth of marbles. That is all the marbles that you're going to win. So I just want you to think about that you're going to have an immense prize to pay for once one of you wins this game. And that's very exciting for you. Okay. Yeah. And I know that since we're all trapped in our homes, that many marbles really could mix things up, make it interesting.
Add excitement to my office.
A lot of slapstick as people walk in the door. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Who's walking in the door, you silly goose? I bet you guys live with people.
There could be a milkman. Or a milkwoman.
Yeah.
I always invite in the milkman.
I was going to say, I got to start inviting in the UPS guy. No, sure, trust me, just early. Walk in.
Yeah. I've got a chair to show you. A lady emerged from her garage and gave it to me. Come on in.
Yeah. It'll be fine, I promise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised there haven't been more murders, honestly. You know,
maybe there have. We just haven't found the bodies
yet.
I
guess maybe we haven't heard about it yet. I feel like there's so many opportunities for Kate, you are just like a perfect example of someone who, if you were just like, I'm done with all of it. And you could, not prime victim, prime killer. Like, because you could just be true. Like, oh, hey, DoorDash guy. And he'd be like, oh, cool. This cute lady is going to invite me in her house. And then you're just like, and then you've just got like a pile of corpses.
Yeah, I like trick him. I was like, come on in. And he's like falling on marbles. And that's how I like trap him because he's like already fallen down.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nate.
Oh,
that's
just
giving
saying.
Me a lot of credit. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Really, really bringing me back. Maybe about 3-4 years ago, there was a running theme that Kate was a serial killer.
That's true. Logan believed that I was murdering people.
Well, then there you go. This is just yet more foundation for what
it is.
Could
we
be.
Have the amount of times people think I could be a murderer.
But remember, Kate, it wasn't you. It
is it because you look sideways every time you say murderer, and then you look to the side?
there was a lady that kept bringing her first dates to the snug, and we were convinced that she was killing him off.
The Tinder slasher, yeah.
Yeah, the Tinder slasher. We probably
swipe
have a picture somewhere if they really need
I would watch that. We'll find maybe we'll find that blog somewhere. But she was those dudes were definitely like shooting above their skis, and then
the guy with the bow tie.
Yeah, the bow tie guy.
Oh no.
That poor sweet thing. I was like, oh, you are about to get hacked up and thrown in the trunk of her car. Sweetie. Get with it.
I mean, but this is the problem with this sort of white male mediocrity, right? Is that we walk around going, oh, well, of course this will work. I might as well go. It's like, no, you're going to get murdered, dumbass. You are not supposed to be here.
Have you guys seen that new movie yet? With what's her face? I'm remembering.
You're
going to
get murdered, dumbass?
No, the Carrie Mulligan. She's the co-ed killer.
Yeah. Yeah,
what's the name of
it? I haven't seen it yet.
I don't remember what it's called, but I do want to see it. I think it looks really good. It kind of reminded me of that.
Remember the name, you let me know. I will watch that.
Yeah. It's a very promising young woman.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Sorry. We really took a tangent. It's just so nice to catch up with you all.
Yeah, this is good. The show is supposed to be like this, so you've done nothing wrong. Let's just jump in. We're going to jump into the final topic. We're going to find out who wins this week's episode. So we start with Kate. Kate, do you have a vague idea about the Muppet Babies?
Oh, for sure.
Talk
for
about
sure,
those babies.
Sure. Yeah. God, I hope this wins me the marbles. I need them.
for your murders.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, so the Muppet Babies are the Muppets, but baby form, which is fantastic, obviously. And then they're in like a daycare center, which is vaguely reminiscent of like if you were to turn Mr. Rogers' house into a children's nursery. But then you've got Animal on like a tiny little drum set, and Fozzie the Bear is like the sweetest little baby ever. And they just get into like crazy hijinks on every episode. I actually don't know if there was a reason other than that TV show that they were made, but I did like them. They were cute.
Merchandising opportunities is the answer to that.
Sure.
To that ponderance.
You know, that is the crazy thing is Miss Piggy was still into Kermit, even as a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, again, just like, what are we doing to kids these days? But anyway.
She's hot from a young age, you know?
Yeah. She was crazy. Crazy Piggy.
And Kermit was still reluctant to be in a relationship at a young age, which provokes serious long-term questions about why they're together at all.
Respect his boundaries, goddammit. It's probably like asexual. And she's like, no, you're not. That's not a real thing. And he's like, well, okay, I guess I'll have to marry you now.
Shit.
Poor Kermit had to conform to society. Go live your life, buddy. I love you.
Incredible darkness, but I love it.
Yeah, wow. Again, it just took it in a weird place. Anywho, that's really all I don't know. I don't
he made some beautiful songs out of that pain, though.
Yeah.
What a winner.
Dave, Muppet Babies, what do you think? What do you know?
I mean, you know, Kate said it all, but I do remember it was incredibly Waka Waka based.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that. I remember Rolf still being the coolest Muppet around. So, you know.
Oh, he was a badass, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little piano.
Never changed. But did Statler and Waldorf make an appearance in Muppet Babies?
I don't remember them being in there ever, actually.
Because I actually know, I think if they isn't this coming on to like Disney Plus or something soon? I think I may have seen that they're putting Muppet Babies on one of the streamings, which I'll watch, but I think they should redo it and add Statler and Waldorf. And actually, it might not be as funny because they would just be like regular jackass asshole kids making fun of everybody.
Would they be children, or would they just be adult men who weren't elderly?
Oh, so they're like a couple
Chads. Maybe they would have been like teenagers.
Yeah,
like,
and they're just trying like to date Nanny the whole time.
It's like this weird subplot.
Yeah. Swedish Chef is a baby and the dancing chickens are just eggs.
He just carries around a basket. Oh,
yeah. Very good. I mean, the Muppet Babies was a show that I was obsessed with as a kid, and there was a Star Wars episode of Muppet Babies where they basically reenact the entire original film with Kermit as Luke Skywalker, Gonzo is Han Solo, Animal was Darth Vader. It was fantastic and totally crazy. And I had a period of time when. So Muppet Babies was on in syndication at like 6 a.m. on one of the local channels here. And I would get up every single day hoping that I was going to see that Star Wars episode. And guess what? I never saw again.
Star Wars episode.
But to Dave's point, if this shit goes on Disney Plus, since Disney owns Star Wars, it should be there because there will be no copyright conflicts or any sort of, you know, weird payments they have to make.
You would think it'd be available on YouTube though too. I feel like there's always somebody.
It probably is. I should probably just look at the internet and see like, hey, there it is. Everything's basically somewhere free pretty easily. There was also a great episode where they learned how to do stop motion animation by rigging a camera. Yeah, they rig a camera to the ladder of their like toy fire truck. And then they just set it up and they're taking like shot after shot. And it was very educational. I've never actually applied that because I never had access to like a little film camera, but I was always intrigued to. And yeah, it was a great show.
They're like a cool, maybe cooler version of the Rugrats where it's like just getting the crazy hijinks, but it's also like really impressive what they can all do for babies.
It's true. And unlike the Rugrats, you never saw Nanny above the base of her skirt, right? It was shins. It was those striped socks, and that was it.
We didn't need her interfering.
Didn't need real adults, nor did we need like the Peanuts style wah 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 wah. Like Nanny talked normally, spoke like a human, but she just wasn't visible.
Treated them with some respect.
It's true. She was like, "Here, have this entire 4,000 square foot apartment, and this is your playroom. Enjoy.
I'll be back in a few hours."
Yeah, or not. You know, maybe I'll never be back. who do we think Nanny was though? Because she's obviously not their biological parent. So who is this Nanny? Know? Well, I mean, I guess I read into the title Nanny too much, but she could be there. She could have had all of them. I'm not saying like, hey, you know,
that would be a
Dolly Parton.
Oh my God!
Nice.
She would have been perfect.
She would be. She seemed like she'd be a really good nanny. She would respect the Muppet babies as the babies they were, and had some shit to do, and that's why she had to leave. She's like, "I'm gonna go record a couple tracks. Here's some snacks.
Back soon." I like it. Snacks and tracks.
She would be such a funny surprise, like guest.
I want this to happen now. I want them to reboot the Muppet Babies and have Nanny kneel down in episode one, and it's Dolly Parton.
Right. Just real quick and never happens again.
Yeah. And she just says something like, "Oh, sorry, I haven't been around. I have to work 9 to 5. And then she
left. She would. Always plugging her shit.
Great job on Muppet Babies. Kate, 3 points. Dave, 2 points. And that means that we have a tie.
Yeah.
20 points each.
We can split the marbles.
Yeah, you. I'm gonna send. I'm gonna send each of you 500 pounds of marbles instead of 1,000 to one of you. So you will receive those. They will demand payment upon receipt, but they won't leave until you pay them. So I apologize if you know Rocco and Knuckles are at all rough with you, but this is just how transactions work on game shows.
It,
you know,
it does. I'm excited to have that conversation.
Yeah, and I'm sure
they'll leave until you pay. I'm like, well, I'm not paying, so make yourself comfortable.
And I'm sure that both Rocco and Knuckles will come back from Kate's and not be murdered there at all.
That's right. Good.
Yeah.
Send them my way first if they want to, yeah.
You'll give them high C and fluffer nutters, and then Kate will kill them. So, yeah, so thank you both so much for being on. This was a lot of fun, as always. It's good to see you. And good to talk to you. I hope that I sincerely hope I keep saying this like every time I have somebody on. It's like, hey, next time we'll be in person. And I really hope the next time we'll be in person. I really
hope that too.
It's a tall order, but I think we can all line up to get our vaccines ASAP.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just throw a needle at me. I don't care. I don't even care what's in it at this point. Just
I'll hit
steal me with
it from
something.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have. Whoever can make apps needs to make an app that just aggregates all of the unused doses that are going to expire within like 36 hours and be like, here, put everybody on the list. And anybody who can get to those doses can have them. That's what we should be doing. Idea. Of course, we didn't have a government for 4 years. So how the fuck would anything get done? But maybe we'll do it now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kate, is there anything that you'd like to plug?
How about fruit? Fruit is delicious. It's healthy. If you're going to eat a lot during the day, you might as well eat some fruit. So go buy an apple or a peach or passion fruit. Get whatever kind of fucking fruit you like. Just eat some.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Plug in.
If you're going to if you're gonna eat all day, you might as well eat some fruit.
Yeah.
And notably, you closed on passion fruit because that's the way that you lure your victims into your domain.
Come.
Yeah. Would you like some fruit?
Yeah, here you go.
You know what? Actually, I've been watching the Great British Bake Off because it's such feel-good TV, and they make a lot of passion fruit flavored things.
Really?
And it always impresses me because we don't get, I've never seen the kind of passion fruit that they use or that you can buy in Peru. Like, it's the kind that you crack open and it's yellow on the inside. We never get that around here. And I always want to know, like, how does London, or I just assume that they're close to London, how do they get such a surplus of passion fruit for every baking whim these people have?
Vestiges of colonization.
Maybe.
Well, that went dark.
Yeah. It wasn't me this time.
But accurate, nonetheless. Dave, anything you would like to plug? Vegetables,
I mean,
perhaps?
I will second Kate's plug on fruit. And not so much plug, but I just wanted to, once again, thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah,
it's good to see both of you again. And thank you. When we discuss famous babies, I'm thinking to myself, he's going to bring up Bart Harley Jarvis. And fuck Bart Harley Jarvis. That baby's awful. So that's all I got to say.
I love
and so I didn't do it.
On that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So
I did one good thing for you today.
You
forget it.
So many
you
good things.
So many good things today. This, yeah.
This
amount of time has
together.
Been perfect, and I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thank you both again for being on. This was a pleasure as always. I have to say, as this podcast continues to be so Zoom based and remote through into 2021, it's like this is just it's a real just emotional float week to week to see people and to get to talk to you. Wonderful, because I don't otherwise. So yeah. So thank you.
Yeah.
This was super good.
This was lovely.
Thank you, Nate.
I love you both. Miss you both.
Yeah. So listeners, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That really helps us out. Check out our social media stuff. We got a Facebook group. We got a Facebook page. We have an Instagram. I don't know if you care. If you like the theme song, it's by Michael J. O'Connor. Check out his music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. And otherwise, let's keep wearing masks, keep stalwartly moving toward a better tomorrow, and hold people accountable so that we actually have changes that are valid and good for everyone, because that's the best way to avert a second round that might be worse of what we've experienced, and selfishly benefit ourselves at the same time. It's kind of a win-win. So yeah.
Smash that like.
Yeah, hit that subscribe button. Spam, spam. We have all had a vague idea about famous babies this week, and that is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Rigoli, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Gorkowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.